All right, good morning once again, friends. Great to see everybody on this beautiful morning. Those of you that are young won't remember this at all, but there used to be a commercial jingle that went something like this. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. We're about to launch into God's Word, Colossians chapter 3, as it talks to us about God's chosen people learning to live in perfect harmony. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Open your Bibles, the app on your phone. Follow along with me on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Since God chose you. We can make a sermon out of that alone. Since God chose you to be the holy people that He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. And remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. There's something very significant about being chosen. How many of you have ever gone to a shelter and picked up a rescued dog or puppy? I was 6 or 7. My parents took me for the first time to a place called Lollipop Farm. Anyone been there? We were told we could bring home a dog. There were 2 puppies from the same litter. One was named Lucky, the other was named Skippy. I fell in love with Lucky. My family voted to bring Skippy home. The joy of being chosen. There's something significant about being chosen. Some of you remember summer on the sandlot field and the best athletes being picked as the captains, and they were able to pick their teams. Some of you remember exactly the order in which you were chosen to be on the team. Some of you had the joy of being picked first, and some know the experience of being picked last. In the NFL draft, the last person selected is called Mr. Irrelevant. There's something significant about being chosen. A foster child who receives the life-changing news that they're about to be adopted. They're going to take on the family legacy and heritage and name. The significance of being chosen. Ellen is finding great joy in showing me pictures on Facebook of dear friends who have just celebrated their engagement, and their engagement photos are there on Facebook, and Ellen is showing me them, and the joy and delight in their faces. There's something significant about being chosen. And the Word tells us this morning that God has chosen us. This God of unfailing love, the Creator of the world, has chosen us. God chose you. I will forever love John 15, verse 16, where the Bible says, Roger, you did not choose me, I chose you. And you're not going to be window dressing. You don't just get to sit there and look pretty. You don't sit on the end of the bench. I'm going to put you in the game. God chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Verse 17, what's the fruit that we bear? Go and love one another. It's a new commandment, Jesus said. Love each other the way I love you. God chose you. Write your name in the Bible as you see that God chose you. He chose me. He chose us. He chose us to be the people that He loves. The Psalms say that God chose us as the people close to His heart. So since God chose you, since God chose us, He now says, I want you to clothe yourselves in a certain way. Ellen and I used to have a ministry role where we found ourselves traveling a lot. We were at home on average 7 days a month, and they were seldom 7 consecutive days. We lived out of a suitcase. We learned how to come home and do the laundry and repack, and every time we loaded the suitcase, we got to be pretty good at that. And I'd go through a mental checklist of getting dressed and making sure I had everything, and this is what the Word is telling us this morning. Before you leave the house, clothe yourselves this way because you are God's chosen people. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves this way because God has chosen you. This is the clothing of those who long to look, live, and love like Jesus. Andy Stanley says this will be inviting to the unrighteous and threatening to the self-righteous. To clothe ourselves in this way, because we are God's chosen people, there are a couple of things we need to be beware of. We should beware of sarcasm and unhealthy humor. Sarcasm is a defense mechanism of the insecure. Unhealthy humor, there is no such thing as a joke without a message. We cannot clothe ourselves in this way because we are God's chosen people if we live in a world of sarcasm and unhealthy humor. The word goes on to say that we should make an allowance for each other's faults. There are many things I can and should do better, and I am frequently reminded of those things. The technology of emails, almost weekly I receive an email reminding me of something I could or should do better, and that's great, I need all the help I can get, but it would help if there was less sarcasm and more of the gentleness and kindness and humility and patience that we see here in God's Word. Make an allowance for each other's faults, the Word says. Create a more gracious teaching moment in your friendships, in your family, and at work. Clothe yourself so that we might better look, live, and love like Jesus. And then it goes on, it gets even deeper. It says, forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone. There are no exceptions. There's no expiration date. There's no statute of limitations. Forgive them all. And the only way this works, forgive anyone who offends you, the only way this works is to forgive them one at a time by name. And keep going until you have forgiven all of them. You see, Christmas, as we're invited to the table, God's table, Christmas is a story of forgiveness, and we forgive one another because God has forgiven us. Forgiveness is the hallmark of our faith. And the Word says, remember, we forgive each other because God has forgiven us. Forgive anyone who offends you as we come to the table, because we are chosen by a God of unfailing love. We are the people close to His heart. Then we come to verse 14. Above all, when you consider everything here, this is the greatest priority. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Above all, the Apostle Paul also said, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Above everything, as you clothe yourself to look, live, and love like Jesus, above it all, clothe yourselves with love. The love that only uses words that build up. The love that only uses actions that unite. The love that uses words and actions that soothe the pain and they lessen the tension and they create harmony and invite us into a place of peace. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. I reached that grade level in elementary school where a note was sent home to my parents and their son was invited to take up an instrument. As soon as I learned that I got to play an instrument, I voted for the drums. Mama said no. Somehow she thought the trumpet would be better. So for 9 years I played trumpet. I understand music theory. I can read music. I played trumpet. Some of you will remember names like Al Hurd and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. I could play it all. But there was one insurmountable problem. I'm tone deaf. I could tell when my trumpet was way off tune, but I could never tell when I had it perfectly tuned. I had to sit next to my friends and have them help me. No, slide it in a little more, too much back. You got it. I couldn't find it myself. I had to have a friend whose ear could make sure I had my trumpet tuned. My musical career didn't last very long. I heard people say that anyone can be taught to sing. You just, with the right lessons, the right teacher, anybody could learn to sing. I thought they were serious. So when I got to college here at Roberts, as one of my electives, I signed up for voice lessons. Dr. Paul Berry drew the short straw. And he suffered through me as his music student. And we'd go into the rehearsal room at the appointed time. Cox Hall is this wonderful place. When it's warm in the spring or early in the fall, the windows are open, and all these beautiful voices are warming up, singing the scale up and down and back again, and it sounds so wonderful and magical, and in walks Roger. Didn't sound the same at all. Dr. Berry was so kind, he'd smile at me every day when I walked in. He'd give me music to go home and rehearse, and I'd rehearse it faithfully. I could sit down and pick out the melody on the piano. I knew what it was supposed to sound like, and we'd arrive, it's time for my lesson, he'd hit a note on the piano, and I'm supposed to sing it and match it with my voice. It was not a pretty picture. One day late in the semester, we're going through the routine. He hits the note and says, "Okay, Roger, your turn, match this note." And I did. He fell off the stool. He gets up and he's prancing around the room doing the dance of joy. Roger hit the note. Roger hit the note. And then finally, 10 minutes later, he sits back down on the stool in front of the piano in the practice room and he hits the same note. I couldn't find it again if my life depended on it. It was the one and only time I hit the note. My musical career was short-lived. Friends, you need to know that perfect harmony in life is a choice. Perfect harmony in your home is a choice. Perfect harmony in this house is a choice. It's a choice that we make because we are God's chosen people close to his heart, and he wants us to clothe ourselves in these ways that help us look, live, and love like Jesus, and above all, to clothe ourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. A choir. Perfect harmony. An orchestra. Perfect harmony. Each voice and instrument submits out of a commitment to the music. How does perfect harmony happen in your home, in your friendships, in our church? Perfect harmony happens as each voice sings to their best so that the choir excels rather than the individual. Each instrument plays to its best so that the orchestra excels rather than the individual. When choirs and orchestras are at their best, it's difficult to sit in the audience and pick out the one voice or instrument that is the best because they submit to each other and the music that they're playing. Perfect harmony results in this peaceful unity. And I love this about our pastoral team. There is a deep commitment to live and work together in this perfect harmony. We're learning what that means. I'm learning what that means. The Word calls us in this perfect harmony to live together with peace. But not just the fleeting peace of the world. It calls us to live together in the peace that comes from Jesus, not from our world, and to let this peace that comes from Jesus, let it rule in our hearts. Let it take authority and have charge. His peace takes precedence. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know how to respond, let the peace of Jesus guide you into what to do or say or how to respond. Let the peace that comes from Jesus rule in our hearts. Then we're reminded that we're members of one body, the body of Christ, the people chosen by God, and we are called to live in peace. We are called. To be called to something means that there's a higher purpose and motivation involved. Our calling, our purpose, is to live in peace with one another. The highest motivation for why we do something, a calling to live in peace. And then it says, always be thankful. Not thankful because you have perfect health, a perfect job, a perfect spouse, perfect family, perfect credit score. It's being thankful even if you don't have perfect health, even if you don't have the perfect job, even if you think you may not have the perfect spouse, the perfect family, and you certainly may not have the perfect credit score. Even then, be thankful, the Word says, because we're God's chosen. Life is to be lived with a thankful heart. Pastor Wally taught us that a cup of coffee is to be celebrated. Clink, sip, ah. Every morning at the breakfast table, Ellen and I have this simple little exchange. The coffee is on the table in front of us, and we take our mugs and we just clink them together. It's a really simple gesture, but it's our way of reminding ourselves that life is fragile and life is a gift and every day is precious and we want to live with thankful hearts. We have another simple tradition. We do it for medicinal purposes only. Every night before we go to bed, for medicinal purposes, good for the heart, we have a small piece of dark chocolate. Seriously, every night, we unwrap our dark chocolate, and then we lift our piece of dark chocolate to one another, and we tap them together. Goofy, isn't it? But it's our way of reminding ourselves that life is meant to be lived with grateful hearts. Nothing is guaranteed. Life is fragile. Every day is a gift. It's to be cherished and celebrated. The life and health and strength we have every day is a gift, and it's to be celebrated and lived with a grateful heart. When we operate out of a thankful heart, we see people in life as though we're looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. When we operate out of a thankful heart, we see Jesus in all people and all of life. So whatever we face in this new year, 2019, are we ready? Whatever we face in this new year, there is always something for God's chosen people to be thankful for. When we come to the table, remember we are God's chosen people, close to his heart, and above all, we are to clothe ourselves in love. And then we come to verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Fill your lives. There are many things that we fill our lives with. Christmas, we've just unwrapped gifts we've exchanged with one another. Some of those we will use every day, and some will be set to the side in the very near future to gather dust. We fill our lives with so many things, but the Word of God is telling us to fill our lives with the Jesus story, the message of Jesus. What is that message? We're chosen. God chose us to live close to his heart. And above all, he wants us to be clothed in his love. That is the Jesus story he wants us to fill our lives with in this new year. Fill your lives with the message of Jesus in all of its richness. I love Eugene Peterson's rendering, his paraphrase in the Message Bible of John 3:16. It never grows old. He writes, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Fill your lives with the Jesus story, and then begin to live the Jesus story. Let it fill your lives. Teach and counsel one another with the wisdom of the Jesus story. Teach and counsel one another, and when you must, use words. Let your life speak of this wisdom. And what's the wisdom they're talking about here? Maybe it's as simple as remembering how God shows up in times of trouble. Maybe the wisdom is as simple as remembering the last time we were facing something, how God got us through it. Simply remembering what we've seen God do in previous situations. Simply remembering that our God of unfailing love is faithful to every promise he has made. Simply remembering that every promise he's made is backed by the honor of his good name. The word is telling us that we should let our life sing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankful hearts. Some, I believe, have misused this verse to argue against praise songs. I don't think that's at all what this verse is telling us. I think the verse is simply saying, you are God's chosen people. Above all else, put on love and let your life sing. Even those who have suffered the most in life, when they find God's healing and freedom, discover that they too have the most beautiful song to sing. Let your life sing. So my friends, in 2019, what will be the music of your life? In this new year, what will be the soundtrack of your life? Full of dark notes or full of joy? Whatever we do or say, we're invited to do it as God's representative. So when you walk into the post office, when you walk into the office, when you walk into the classroom, when you walk into Wegmans, when you walk into the bank, when you walk into this building, when you walk into your home, do it as a representative of Jesus, chosen by God, filled with the Jesus story, clothed in his love, and give thanks through Jesus to our God of unfailing love. The table. It's been an incredible series. Thank you. Thank you, team. The table. God's table. It's reminded us of a God of unfailing love. But now as we launch into the new year, as we come to the end of this wonderful Advent season, as we push back from the table, it's our time to step out and live out this vision to look, live, and love like Jesus. As we push away from the table, it's our time to step out and live our mission to be and make disciples of Jesus that love God and neighbor. It's our time as we push away from the table and step out into the world to live out these three strategies of worship, our love for God, of community, our love for one another, and of service, our love for this world. Anybody looking for some New Year's resolutions? Here are some ideas. Live with a confidence that you've been chosen by God. Live with a confidence that God chose you. Another idea for a New Year's resolution, above all else, clothe yourself in love so that we might live in perfect harmony. One last thought for a New Year's resolution. Live the Jesus story. Let the richness of the Jesus story fill your lives until you can't help but sing. Let your life sing this new year. Let your life sing the Jesus story. Let your life song be the Jesus story. Let me pray as the worship team comes back. Father, help us to remember in this new year that we are the chosen ones. So much to be grateful and thankful for. And above all else, Father, as we try to be clothed in these things that help us look, live, and love like Jesus, help us to be clothed in love until we find that place that binds us together in perfect harmony. And Father, help us to let our lives sing as we are filled with the richness of your great love. Do it for us. Do it through us. Do it for this world through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.